from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So, Paulie says we had some sound. I missed it after the game yesterday. But the question of whether Michael King would have been allowed to go for the no-hitter had he made it through the seventh inning. And his pitch count wasn't that high. I think it was in the 70s getting into the 80s.
It's amazing.
This is what Mike Schilt had to say about it after the game yesterday.
He had the pitch count to maybe get there too, you know, thinking about a lot of different scenarios when you get that late in the game. You got to think about a lot of different things. But, you know, if he could navigate to seventh, he's going to grab the eighth. We'll have somebody back him up. He gets the eighth, and we'll keep broadening it from there.
He finished with 85 pitches after seven.
Through seven innings. So, yeah, just 85. He could have gone into the eighth even having allowed the run. But at that point, with no-hitter on the line, and they are still concerned about his innings total, it was a pretty easy call for Mike Schilt to go to the Estrada-Suarez combo, knowing Suarez was ready for four, maybe even five outs if they needed it, because he had had most of the All-Star break, other than the two batters he faced in the All-Star game, since he had pitched last. So, yeah, it worked out. Sounds like an easy answer. Yeah. Yeah, we would have seen what was going to happen and let him try in the eighth, and then maybe or maybe not would have gone all the way for the no-hitter.
Maybe
he
would.
It's I'm all for it if it happens, you know, but that guy in that spot at this time of the season, I don't know. Maybe I'm nervous Nelly about it, but I just think the pragmatic thing to do is to use the guys that are there, that are ready and healthy, and really, I mean, fresh, and Robert Suarez is one of the best in the game, and Estrada, too. Like, listen, he didn't have to make that decision, so I'm glad we don't have to argue about it.
But the problem the Padres have right now, and yes, they had Estrada and Suarez, but at some point, Estrada and Suarez are going to be used 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
And you're going to have Michael King going well, but getting close to 100 pitches, you know, in the seventh inning. And then you're going to have to decide, do I go to Steven Kolek or do I keep Michael King in and push him? Because I know the best choice for us to win is probably to keep Michael King in there because he's your better pitcher.
To win today, yeah.
To win today, but am I costing myself Michael King innings when it might be more important later in the season or in the playoffs? And when you don't have a deep bullpen and you don't have, you know, more than four starting pitchers right now, how can you not ask too much of the four guys who are going right away? I mean, the Padres are probably going, I think, in fact, they did announce it's going to be Randy Vasquez and then Matt Waldron and Dylan Cease. So, yes, they have a day off, so they'll be going on normal rest. But if you had a five-man rotation, you could be getting everybody an extra day, you know, right now. Just go with a normal five-man rotation. But they don't have a five-man rotation.
Nope.
They have a four-man rotation at this point, and they're using the off day. They'll need a fifth starter, I think, on Saturday is when they will need one. And either they'll have to call up Johnny Brito.
No, he's hurt.
He's even hurt?
He's
okay,
hurt.
So
yeah,
someone else from the minors?
They were stretching him out, and it was just kind of a little quick blurb in Kevin Acey's newsletter the other day, and he's kind of hurt his elbow after his best start in AAA. So I don't know the how hurt he is. I don't know if it's just a little tight inflammation, whatever. But he's you know, now they're looking at that as well. So is this going to be an Adam Mazur day? Is it going to be a bullpen day, which gives me the sickest fits of all time? We are not a team that can afford a bullpen day. We're just not. And I don't even know how you would navigate that right now. I really don't. And not screw yourself. Now, they've got a lot of off days, you know, this month, which is good. But, you know, listen, which is why the trade deadline is in, what, a week from tomorrow. This is why reinforcements in the bullpen and in the starting rotation are needed. Deacon tweeted last night, Padres fans, do we really need to be buyers to get into the playoffs? I think the answer is unequivocally, yes, absolutely. Now, at what level you want to buy, that's up for debate. But the answer
is you have to buy a couple arms still here. You have to buy
it's
arms.
It's like the biggest no-brainer of all time. Out of all the trade deadlines, we've needed someone. This one, with this team, and what they've shown us that they're capable of at times this year, this has been the greatest need right now today. Now, again, we don't know when August, right, which is a week away.
And he did throw again off a bullpen.
Felt good.
So far, so good.
That would be a nice addition, but it still ain't enough because you don't know how long you can trust that Joe will be in the rotation. Yu Darvish, you know, is still a mystery. We don't know when he's coming back. So I think the answer to that question is a 100% resounding yes. No question about it.
Need a contestant for Take on Woods if you're ready to challenge Woodsy in our musical trivia game to try to win a chance to go to Las Vegas for two nights, dinner, day bed at the Rio Pool. Give us a call, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. That's the number to use.
BBD's in the chat says, innings limit or BS. Ask the Nats and Steven Strasburg. Pitch until it falls off.
I don't think that's the argument.
That's not the...
maybe you think it is.
I don't know that that's the guy that you want to use, since they're paying him like $30 million for the next like 8 years because he can't pitch anymore.
Now, if you told me, okay, yeah, if you push Michael King, Padres are definitely winning a World Series, maybe I'd go, all right, I'll take my chances going forward. But what if you push Michael King, don't win the World Series, and you end up with a Steven Strasburg situation where, well, Michael King is never effective again the rest of his life?
It won't be
because you pushed him.
It won't be a Strasburg situation because you don't owe him $300 million over the next 10 years or whatever, you know, Steven's getting. But so that's not the exact example I would use.
Manuel said the same along the same lines. He said, "Stop babying the pitchers. Let them pitch. We all know eventually they're going to have TJ."
I mean,
at this point fatalist, in this day and age, it's almost like...
Has he had one?
Michael King? Ooh, good question.
I don't think so. No?
I
tend to jump towards yes, he has already had
that
one.
That is generally the correct
answer.
It's
a good assumption.
Actually, I'm going to send Bo in for one here pretty soon.
He's knock it out early.
He's six. Just get it done. Strengthen that ligament and let's go.
Before we get to a Take on Woods, congratulations to Xander Schauffele.
No doubt.
On a second major title this year. If you don't follow golf that closely, at least as closely as I do, I just can't tell you how impressive Xander Schauffele was yesterday in the final round of the Open Championship. What's the most impressive thing to do in golf? Win a major.
Win a major.
What's the most impressive way to win a major? By shooting a low round on Sunday and just beating the field. Rarely is that actually how it happens. Usually, hey, you build up a 3-shot lead and maybe you hold on for even par. Other players give it back. Tiger won most of his majors just by letting the rest of the field collapse around him. Xander twice this year has shot a 65 in the final round to win a major. You know how many other golfers have twice shot a 65 to win a major in the final round? One, Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
And he did it 20 years apart. Xander's done it twice in 1 year.
Is he now, Xander Schauffele, number one? I saw you tweeting about it yesterday. He's moving up the ranks. He's got to be number one. Two majors?
Well, Phil has more majors, obviously,
yeah,
in golf.
He's a
San Diegan, too, so I can't immediately put Xander to the top. But he's got many years left, and he's halfway to the Grand Slam. He's the, you know, outside of Scottie Scheffler and maybe even including Scottie Scheffler, the hottest golfer in the planet right now.
Is he the new world number one?
No, still Scottie. Scottie's so far ahead in points just from what he's done. But they did. I mean, you could open up the Player of the Year race. If Xander wins the FedEx Cup or wins one of the playoff events and gets a third win, they'll at least talk about it. Two majors versus one. Scotty has six wins in a major right now, probably still ahead of Xander's. Only two wins are majors. But the fact that a San Diego kid, someone who grew up here, played college golf here.
Yeah, buddy.
Managed the insane weather, especially on Saturday when it was as brutal, you know, as it gets at the British. I mean, raining constantly, heavy winds.
Nasty, dude.
They were hitting drivers into par threes and not getting there. Xander, you'd think, would be the least equipped.
It's like our buddy Foster, Paulie, in
that
he
kind
has
of
to
weather.
Hit the driver on a par three and not reach the greens, just like him, except there's no wind.
And all the other guys who were just complaining and collapsing and going, this course is too hard. And Xander's just like,
just grinding it.
La-di-da. It's fine. You know,
I saw Shane Lowry pissing and moaning.
Guy from Ireland.
Ireland. Like, bro, you're used to this. Are you kidding? What are you talking about?
But Xander, San Diego guy, conquers the elements, conquers Royal Troon, and wins his second major of the year to really take a big leap up now. In the pantheon of golfers.
And
here.
Not only a big leap up in the pantheon of golfers, his MO before that first one was the guy that can't get it done.
Right.
The choker, the guy that never
can't
gets
close.
It done. He cannot close.
Now okay? He's the best closer in majors, you know, maybe of his generation it's all of a sudden.
Incredible. What an astounding, astounding
And Xander said afterwards that winning the PGA 2 months ago helped him. Down the stretch, like, okay, I've done this before. I can do it again. Just having that knowledge that he's done it helped him immensely. Bogey-free, 65. What a round yesterday for Xander Schauffele. Congratulations. Hopefully we can get him on the show again soon. Talk about another major win.
If we don't, I can just sub in new questions, and Paulie can edit the answers
from the last
major.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, we could do that. If for some reason we can't get him this time, but congratulations to him and his dad breaking down made me vomit from emotions. Incredible.
Stephen Schauffele. He wasn't, remember his dad wasn't there for
the last one.
Yeah.
What was he doing? He was moving or something?
I don't know. They just didn't realize, I guess, you know, well, he's been on a lot of these. We don't have to go to every single one of them, do we? They missed it. So he wasn't going to miss this one.
Oh, dude,
and he was there.
It was elite.
All right, you ready for a little take on Woods? All right, let's get to it.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
We got Mark as our contestant hanging on. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Good. All right. Take on Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. If you can beat or tie Woods, again, we'll put you into the drawing for the two-night trip to the Rio Las Vegas. Two-night stay, dinner for two, day bed at the Rio Pool. Completely reimagined with new owners. Book now at RioLasVegas.com. I don't like to waste anything. So we had two categories left over from summer break last week, girl power from the 2000s and 2010s, and Three Times a Lady. Those are songs with either girl or lady in the title. We also have Seen and Heard, which are five song titles that include the word seen or heard, and a bonus fourth category, boy bands. Bands or artists with boy or boys in the title. So you got four choices here, Mark. Girl power, Three Times a Lady, Seen and Heard, or boy bands. What would you like to pick?
Let's try boy bands.
Boy bands. All right. Again, this is specifically bands or artists with boy or boys somewhere in the name. You'll have 60 seconds. Answer as many of the five as you can. If you don't know an answer, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question is the two-second song. Paulie's going to play a little music. You need to give me the title of the song and the artist that includes boy or boys to score that point. Two-parter. So, Mark, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, let's get going. 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. The category is boy bands. Good luck, Mark. Let's take on Woods.
Pass.
Which Canadian band is best known for 80s hits Turn Me Loose and Working for the Weekend?
Loverboy.
Correct. Neil Tennant and Chris Lowe are the English duo behind which synth-pop band you might just find in the West End of London?
Pet Shop Boys.
Correct. Which artist performed under the stage name Lieutenant Lush during a brief stint with Bow Wow Wow before finding success as the lead singer of Culture Club?
Boy George.
Correct. Which 21st century band from Illinois is known for hits ranging from Dance Dance to Uma Thurman to Centuries? Go back to the 2 second song. You know this one.
Smoking in the boys' room, Motley Crue?
No. Which 21st century band from Illinois is known for hits ranging from Dance Dance to Uma Thurman to Centuries? Yeah! Oh, nice pull, Mark, wow, for a four-pointer. But will it be enough? That could be enough for a tie. You got Lover Boy, Pet Shop Boys, Boy George, and Fall Out Boy. The one you didn't get, the two-second song, that was Sabotage by the Beastie Boys. So let's bring Woods in. This should be a dramatic game, if I know my Woods. All right, Mark's score is locked in. Woods doesn't get the category.
Very demonstrative in here, I saw through the window. Wow.
Some excitement at the end.
Wow.
All right, 60 seconds back on the clock. Same five questions. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Mark. That's you, Paul.
That's Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
Correct. Which Canadian band is best known for 80s hits Turn Me Loose and Working
Lover
for the
Boy.
Week? Correct. Neil Tennant and Chris Lowe are the English duo behind which synth-pop band you might just find in the West End of London?
Pet Shop Boys.
Correct. Which artist performed under the stage name Lieutenant Lush during a brief stint with Bow Wow Wow before finding success as the lead singer of Culture Club?
Boy George.
Correct. Which 21st century band from Illinois is known for hits ranging from Dance Dance to Uma Thurman to Centuries?
Uma Thurman. It's Fallout. No. Fallout Boy?
Yes! And that is the difference. 5-4.
Wow.
Mark also pulled out Fallout Boy at the last second. Mark, I'm sorry. Great game. Not enough today as Woods holds the title for another day. Give it another try later this month. We got a few more days left here in July to qualify people for the trip to Las Vegas. Boy bands. Bands and artists with boy or boys in the name.
Love it.
All right, we'll take a time out. Woods, you wanted to tease something for you think it's a doo-doo this, so.
It should go down in history. He should go down in history, and he is already going down in history. We need to have a discussion about Nick Castellanos, because he did it again. And I've got the entire list of all of the things that he does when there is a huge moment in American history.
We say we'll remember him for centuries.
For centuries.
Nick Castellanos.
That's right.
Coming up next with Ben and Woods after traffic on 97.3 The Fam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This, brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thecrafttaco.com. Woodsy, get us started today.
Well, from the massive creep files, LSU sophomore cornerback Javian Toviano has now surrendered to authorities on charges of video voyeurism. The East Baton Rouge Parish Parish Sheriff's Office said. He's 19 years old, plays for the LSU Tigers, and was recording women, or a woman, not to her knowledge. She had no idea she was being recorded through a camera that was in his alarm clock placed near the bed. And she had caught him before recording, and she said, "I do not want to be recorded. Don't record this."
He said, give you my consent
filmed. And he said, all right, I won't. So then he went and got a hidden camera to record it. She found them on his iPad. And he's now been suspended from all team activities in accordance with departmental policies. No further comment out of the university. I don't imagine you could let that guy suit up again for your program.
I don't know. I mean, Mike Gundy was his coach, probably would be
We've done a thousand times. I didn't even know it was wrong.
I mean, if that's all.
I mean, seriously, like, not to make light of it, but like, that's way creepy. Way creepy.
Gross. All right, I'll just leave it there,
and
we'll go on to story number two.
No thoughts on voyeurism, Ben?
Yeah, no thoughts on voyeurism. Are you a voyeur?
Against it?
Would you say you're a voyeur?
I would not say
that. Can't even ask him with a straight face. Are you more of an exhibitionist?
No, although I get the sense that we'd all be better off if we had less hang-ups about, you know,
Nudity
and our personal bodies, like... That's like nude pictures leak, it's embarrassing, like, of course. And I would be embarrassed and you'd be embarrassed if they were plastered all over the internet.
Yourself.
But everybody has a body.
And everybody has a body.
And we shouldn't be shaming or making fun of people for their bodies.
Right.
So it really shouldn't be that embarrassing because we all have them.
But let me ask you this. If you go on a business trip, I don't know what business trip you'd go on away from us, but you go on a business trip and you are in your hotel and you look down by the pool and there's a couple making love. Do you turn and do you walk back into your room or would you watch?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, if they were out by the pool, like
in public,
out there where anyone could see them.
Right. You wouldn't get a telescope.
No,
or
but they, I mean, they're probably doing it because they want to be watched, right?
That's what I think.
I would help out.
Help out.
By watching.
Those are two consenting adults doing it.
Yeah. Out in public.
And I think there is like a rush of potentially being seen.
I'm not into that.
But I'm not going to report them. I'm not going to like. Would you call up to the hotel desk and report them?
There's two people down by the pool doing something very untoward, and I would like
Some people would. I wouldn't report them.
The difference, of course, being in this story from LSU.
No one knew. She did
not know what was happening. It was a hidden camera and an alarm clock.
Incredible.
Which is really creepy.
But, I mean, you know, remember the Aaron Andrews story in the hotel?
Awful. The Pepe hole, I remember.
Pepe hole.
Yeah.
It's awful. But no one should ever shame Aaron Andrews. Didn't do anything wrong.
She didn't do
wrong.
A damn thing.
Nothing at all.
She took her clothes off in her hotel room.
Right. Nothing at all. Nothing wrong. There should be no embarrassment or shame or anything associated with that other than
very,
the person who did it.
Yeah, the person who did it. Yeah. But you would see how you wouldn't want that out there.
All right. Story number two. This is with the Olympics coming up. Japanese gymnastics star Shoko Miyata will not be competing in Paris after an investigation determined she violated team rules. Now, 19-year-old, she's the reigning national title holder. She won bronze at the 2022 World Championships in the balance beam. So one of the top player, you know, gymnasts on the team. What did she do that was so bad that got her kicked off the Olympic squad?
Well, oh, man. Let's see.
It's not video voyeurism.
No. disrespected a coach.
It's not that. She violated team rules. She was smoking and drinking alcohol.
Ooh.
Which is not against...
She underage?
She is 19, so she is underage. Japanese Gymnastics Association issued an apology for the controversy and says Miyata owned up to her actions. Her coach called for sympathy over the matter, citing huge expectations to excel at the international level. She was spending her days burdened with so much pressure. I would implore people to understand that. Now, it's 20 is the drinking and smoking age in Japan, so she was a few months away from legal age. Would any American athlete be, like, if a 20-year-old was caught smoking, well, it's legal to smoke, but a 20-year-old was caught drinking?
No.
Do you think?
I don't think so.
They would be kicked off, like, a national team for that?
I
don't either.
I don't think so
I don't think
either.
That would happen.
I don't think so either.
Coach might talk to them.
Stern, you know.
There might be, like, hey, some private consequences, but
sure.
I don't think they'd get kicked off the team for it.
Yeah, I agree.
In Japan?
Yeah,
a little more rules-based society.
Very, very stringent.
They are not giving her a second chance, and she will not get to compete at the Olympics.
That's a tough one, man.
Yeah.
That's a real tough one. Let's do a doo-doo this. I think it's a doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
Nick Castellanos has certainly what one would call a flair for the dramatic. And it happened again yesterday as President Joe Biden has withdrawn from the race. And shortly after the president's seeking a second term, this happened.
1-2 pitch, swung on, and that one's hit well. Left field, going back on it is Reynolds. He's at the track, he's looking up, and that one's not coming back. Nick Castellanos, a solo shot here in the ninth, his 14th of the season, and the Phillies now lead it 6-0.
So again, it's Nick Castellanos. He's not, you know, he's not Barry Bonds. He's not Aaron Judge. He's not Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani hit his 30th last night. He's 14 overs. It's pretty good, but, you know, Manny's not having a great year. He's got 13, right? Nick Castellanos, somebody tweeted this out yesterday. Here's a list.
He also almost had one earlier in the game.
Yeah.
He hit, like, off the wall or up to the warning track and just missed it.
Here's a list of all of the Castellanos home run during significant events. You ready? We all remember the after the apology for the homophobic slur on the broadcast. That happened in the middle of the apology.
There's a
deep drive to left, and I don't think I'm coming back here again. What was his name?
Tom Brenneman.
That's right.
It's actually coming back and doing a game, I think I said.
Then the career-threatening injury for Fernando Tatis Jr., a eulogy for a World War II veteran, a 9/11 tribute video package on the air. I remember that. The apology of opposing team's coach getting a DUI, 10 minutes after Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, right after Dwayne Haskins' death, right after the Memorial Day tribute package on air, the eulogy for the just-deceased PA announcer for the stadium, the cancer announcement for his own team's owner, the Vin Scully death announcement, an hour after the death of Queen Elizabeth was announced, a bridge collapsing, killing several people, the Oceangate submarine explosion, three other celebrity deaths, two home runs on the anniversary of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the assassination attempt on Trump, and Biden withdrawing from the race.
Okay.
It's actually
and Paulie,
staggering.
What was the other one? Like his when he was in the minor leagues?
I sent that over and I opened it and one of the most of the comments were like, "Oh, brother, check out what his first professional home run was.
Yep.
His first home run as a professional baseball player was like low A, minor
West
leagues.
Michigan A-ball.
And it was May, whatever, 2011.
Yep.
It was the day Osama bin Laden was killed.
Now, he can't know what's going on.
No! It like, just happens!
He didn't know Tom Brenneman was apologizing.
No, he had
air.
No idea.
He doesn't know when they're running.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith.
Right.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run. And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
Like, that feels like it was the first one, but I think that was just the first one that we started paying attention
to. Yeah, of course, because it was so, like, wild. He's right in the middle of it, and there's deep to the, and Brenneman in the middle of his apology.
There's always home runs on every day.
Sure.
Significant. There's baseball, there's home runs
sure.
on days significant things happen.
Sure.
We just have finally recognized, starting there, that
he's
somehow Castellanos always seems to be one of the guys with a home run.
He's a witch.
But he doesn't know that
so
these things are happening.
People, like, literally ran yesterday to place bets. After Biden withdrew, they ran and placed bets, and people won.
My brain doesn't work that way either,
and I love to place bets, and I didn't even think about it. The next time something happens, man, I'm going and putting $100 on Castellanos.
Like the Phillies, okay, let's say something.
The odds are going to be nothing now. You're going to win. You bet 100 to win 103.
Right. Let's say something happens on a Wednesday, but the Phillies don't play on a Wednesday. Is it like his next game?
Not sure.
Or does it have to be the day of? I need to know the rules and all the parameters.
It's day of.
I think it's mostly day of.
They're all day of.
Sometimes it's hour of or moment
yes.
of, though.
Yes.
You can't predict
bro,
it.
Bro, the 9/11 package is running while he's hitting and home run. Like, it's insane. He's a witch. He's a witch. And I think it's
incredible.
I think it's an incredible story.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Junior says he's a time traveler.
Yeah.
He knows the future, so he goes back and hits home runs on the days that are significant. I don't even think that works. It's hard to hit a home run.
It's very hard.
You can't just decide, okay, today is the day I'm hitting a home run.
Yeah, something happened. I'm going to hit a home run. It just doesn't work that way. Wow.
All right, we'll come back.
I mean, if you had that power, just hit a home run every time you feel like it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just be the greatest home run hitter of all time. Just hit like four a game. You're good.
He is incredible.
There's some sorcery happening here.
He's a witch.
All right, we have a couple more Padres games to go over from the weekend. They were both 7-0 finals.
Yes.
Just opposite winners in Cleveland. We'll talk about Friday and Saturday's matchups when we come back with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Actually, a few things we could have put in Don't Do This Thing. We could have done like a 7-parter of Don't Do This. We didn't have the time. We're talking about USA basketball there in the break. Did you guys see Big Papi make the Hall of Fame induction ceremony about himself again and go and touch Adrian Beltre's head? Can you?
I saw him like creepily hiding behind the curtain, just kind of waiting for his moment.
They mentioned it in the chat. Like, bro. Just is it possible for you to let somebody have a moment?
Like Robert Suarez, the All-Star.
Right.
Team.
Just, hey, buddy. You having fun?
Hey, Yankees suck.
Hey,
am I right?
Hey, you going to beat the Yankees? Yeah. Okay. Hey, buddy, you having fun? You going to hit a homer? No, they've actually pulled me from the game, so I'm ineligible to hit again.
While Adrian Beltre gives his speech, let's cut to Papi interviewing some of the Hall of Famers who are
sitting
here.
Isn't this cool to be in here? What'd you think of that luncheon? Bro, so that was one. He's annoying now. I know he's beloved, and he's got the gap in his teeth and everything else, and it's great. Relax, dude. Do less. You're one of the best I've ever seen. One of the most feared hitters of all time. Let that be enough.
Right.
Let it be enough.
I think he's not as entertaining or funny to me as Paulie, Fox wants him to
he's
be.
He's not as entertaining or funny as he thinks he is.
You know what? TNT, Turner, whatever, like, give me all the Charles Barkley content.
Yeah, he's like
100%.
They want him to be
phenomenally
baseball's
funny.
Charles Barkley.
He's not even close.
He's not as clever. He's not as likable.
That's what they're doing, right?
He's not Charles Barkley. Yes, they're exactly trying to make him on the set be the Charles Barkley of inside the NBA, but inside the MLB, and he's sitting there trying to be Charles Barkley.
Barkley doesn't do stuff like that. He doesn't do annoying stuff. He doesn't.
No, he's just naturally
funny. He's just naturally funny, and like everything he says is just funny. Like, he's got that thing.
He's also very insightful.
Yes.
When it comes to basketball at times.
And just, there's just no reason for it. So we could have done that. Of course, he had to go and touch Adrian's head and, ha ha ha, Big Poppy, look at me. And then the basketball. Paul, I didn't see this. I was probably making love or in a tub soaking somewhere when this happened, but fill me in on that.
I ran some highlights on Saturday. So in London, Team USA, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis and company. These are just tune-ups. Yeah, tune-up exhibition games before the Olympics. And they were taking on South Sudan, which is actually the newest nation in the world. They're like 13 years old.
Nice.
Split off from Sudan. Just a fledgling basketball program, but a kind of a basketball hotbed. The Aztecs have had a number of players from that area come in and be part of the team.
NBA players, I think.
Yeah. And they had some ex and current NBA players on their squad, but they were up like 16 at halftime, double digits in the third quarter. The U.S. team needed to rally. And then South Sudan hit a three with like 15 seconds left to take a 1-point lead. And LeBron drove to the basket to put him back up by one with like 6 seconds left. And then Sudan had like two shots at a layup and put back to win it. Didn't get a foul call. Could have gotten a foul call, but the referees are going to swallow their whistles when it's South Sudan against Team USA in an exhibition game. And U.S. held on by one. Now, had they lost, what are the consequences? None. It's just an exhibition game. Would have been an amazing moment for South Sudan. Was anyway, just the fact that they played that well.
Hung that tough.
And maybe it's a bit of a wake-up call for Team USA that the Olympic tournament's not going to be quite the cakewalk that some people think it's going to be. Basketball around the world is good. It just is very good. The U.S. has the best team, and it's maybe the best team since the Dream Team, but the Dream Team didn't have to take on the kind of squads that are now around the world. Back then, it was ridiculous, the difference in talent level. Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. It'll be an interesting Olympic basketball tournament.
I'm actually looking forward to this. You know how I feel about basketball, but I'm looking forward to it. I don't want them to lose, obviously, but that brings a little bit more cachet to it. The fact that they may not win with all of this star power.
They did announce this morning that LeBron James is going to be the flag bearer for the opening ceremony for Team USA in Paris next Friday. And when I first heard it, I was like, shouldn't that go to like an Olympic athlete? Not that he's not an Olympic athlete, but maybe someone who only gets to showcase every 4 years, that only gets to really have the spotlight this 1-2 week period. LeBron
Simone
is
Biles.
Always in the spotlight every single year. But then I found out that it's a vote of Olympians.
Oh, it's killer.
And he won the vote. So, okay.
Makes sense.
I mean, if they picked him, and, you know, he's a good representative for Team USA.
100%.
So he will be the male flag bearer. I think tomorrow they announce the female flag bearer for Team USA.
And this bad boy kicks off, what, Friday?
Yeah, ooh, Friday.
Oh, boy. All right. Here we go.
All right. We have traffic still? Let's check traffic, and then we'll go back over the other two games, Friday and Saturday's Padres games in Cleveland, matching 7-0 games, win and loss, next on 97.3 The Fan. This hour on The Fan brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. All right, 7-0 win, 7-0 loss, Saturday and Friday. But again, as we said earlier, two very good pitching performances. Dylan Cease was amazing for the second straight outing. He was terrific in his last start before the break, maybe even better on Saturday. 7 innings, the one hit, one walk, 10 strikeouts, back-to-back 10 strikeout games, as good as consecutive performances as you're going to see in Major League Baseball.
Nasty. Just as nasty and unhittable as you could get.
Yeah, his last two start total, 13 innings, two hits, 21 strikeouts.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Whatever he's unlocked It's going really well, and that's a good team. That's a really, really good team he beat on Saturday.
That's the Dylan Cease the Padres were hoping that they traded for
at the start of the season. And we've seen it. We've seen it plenty. There have been some uneven starts, certainly, but we've seen really good Dylan Cease.
Now,
this year.
I don't know if you remember, but the very first batter of the game, Stephen Kwan, roped one. That hooked just foul.
Yeah, and when he hit it, here we go again.
When he hit it, I thought, oh, wait, see, he's just had a good start. What is he going to do?
Give up bombs.
Give up a home run in the first inning, down give up some nothing. Runs, and be down early.
Yep.
But it hooked foul, and after that, you really never thought about it again because he was that dominant the rest of the game. But there is that tendency still sometimes early for Dylan Cease. Just avoided the trouble this time and locked in and was absolutely fantastic. Offensively, Padres put together kind of a weird rally in the fourth inning. They loaded the bases. Luis Camposano ripped, I think it was the hardest hit ball of his career.
Yeah.
An RBI single to score the first run. And then Luis Arraez drew a walk, which he hadn't been doing much, but decided he kind of just decides what he wants to do. I think I read in the UT that the team had said, hey, we'd like you to try to walk a little bit more. And he said, okay, I'll just swing a little bit less. And he drew that walk to drive in a run. And then Jake got hit with two outs to drive in a third run. Weird rally off Gavin Williams, but that gave Dylan Cease plenty of offense. Good to see him adding on. They had the four-run eighth with the David Peralta and Jake Cronenworth home runs as well. Jake's now tied for the team lead. 14 home runs, same as Jurickson, same as Fernando Tatis Jr., and one ahead of Manny. Now, 14 isn't a terrific total for your team leader when guys like Shohei have 30 at this point.
Yeah, but Shohei when you have, Ohtani.
But they also have more guys, you know, at that 14, 13 level than most teams do. So, kind of balances out in the end. They don't have one super duper home run hitter, but they've had more than most teams get to double digits.
Our team leader's been out for how long? You know, in Fernando Tatis Jr.
True. So he could be in the 20s at some point. Yeah,
absolutely.
He had stayed healthy.
And so good to see David Peralta heating up a little bit. That's a bat I think we're going to need, you know, down the stretch from the left side. Great win. Great win. Great bounce back win. And, you know, obviously starting pitching sets the tone. And you just felt after you watch him lock in, you're like, they're not beating us. There's no way. They couldn't get anything going off him.
David Peralta, I'm glad you mentioned it. He has been hitting well. And he started all three games in right field. Seems like he's now the starter against right-handers, at least until Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back, which is good that he's heating up. It also means that Donovan Solano is the missing man. I don't think he played at all this weekend. He'd been such a key member of the Padres lineup, but with Xander Bogaerts back.
And playing well,
and
by
playing,
the way.
Yeah,
playing
really well. He had some good strong line drives.
Four multi-hit games in the five games that he's been back.
There's really no spot for Donovan Solano in the lineup right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, again, if you need to give Manny a blow, and you might, as bad as he looks.
But you're not going to give him a blow against a lefty,
Donovan plays against primarily. Yeah.
So, really, it's like, do you give Jake a day off against a lefty, or maybe Arraez?
Yeah.
You don't really want to take those guys out of the lineup much, though.
I know.
Which makes it harder for Donovan Solano to find a place on this team, which is why Padres fans, they're not picking up Ty France.
No, there's absolutely no need for Ty France.
He was reportedly put on waivers by the Seattle Mariners, and as much as you like Ty France and would love the story of him coming back, they don't even have room for Donovan Solano, who's probably hitting better than Ty France.
Why do we have to do that every time a player gets released? Hey, could we pick him up?
I think it's a bit.
All right. They're a good team. They released him because he's not playing well.
Yeah.
Donovan Solano has
any good player playing well ever been released?
I think he's got 14 home runs too, though. Ty France, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think most of them were earlier in the season. And
just another thing we need, another infielder.
Right. Like, another right-handed bat. Doing? Yeah, I know.
Plus, I think if you claim him, you're on the hook for the rest of his salary, which is not insignificant. So Donovan Solano's cheap and fills that role well, and they don't even need him right now.
Yeah, he's there. They're not even. Yeah, they can't even find a spot for him.
Now, can Ty France, you know, throw the seventh inning in the bullpen?
That's a story. Then I'll listen.
Pick him up. Yeah, if there's guys like that that are available, I will definitely consider adding someone to the Padres roster at this point.
One of those guys that we all know very well is on the block right now. Did you see the news out of Cincinnati?
I did.
That they're listening on
Nick Martinez.
Nick Martinez and Frankie Montas. Now, Martinez signed a 2-year, $26 million deal with them.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're going to.
He's pitched pretty well.
He has. I don't know, though, that they're going to, they're looking for a salary dump. They're not looking to, they're not going to say, yeah, take him, give us a couple prospects, and we'll eat, you know, 80% of that. I don't know that you can swing.
Now, remember, the rest of this year, though, $13 million is only going to be about $5 to $6 million for the last couple of months of the year.
But you're on the hook for $13 the next year. Yeah. Right.
But is there an option? Will he opt out?
I don't think there's an option. I don't think there is.
Is there not an option?
I thought it was a two-year deal, $13 each.
But the Padres are desperate after next year.
The Padres are desperate enough for pitching that
I would bring him back in a New York minute.
I think they even have to consider it at this point and then figure out. I mean, you can always trade him again in the offseason if he throws well enough that there is a team out there that would be willing to probably pay him that amount. Starting pitching is
scarce.
He's doing a good enough job that he's earned that money.
And he's pitched both roles this year. He's started and he's relieved.
Right.
And again,
and his walk rate is way down. That was the one knock on him.
The thing that they would do to him 100% again is, you're going to start. I mean, look, Joe's not here. You're starting.
Joe, you come back, and he's like, back to the bullpen again.
But he's such a team player. He would do it. He's comfortable. He's familiar with everything.
Maybe not. Would you stock the fridge in the pen with some Red Bull just in case 100%. He comes back? Sure. Just be ready. For a potential reunion.
I'd be fine with it.
No on the Ty France reunion. Maybe on the Nick Martinez reunion. And by the way, the only reason I think that he's available is the Washington Nationals just swept the Cincinnati Reds to really knock him out of contention. Of course, that means the Nationals are still hot and still thinking they've got a shot. And now the Padres have to go to D.C. for the next three games, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week.
Here we go.
All right, we'll come back, reset everything for the final 2 hours of the show. More Padres talk on the way. In-season Sammy joining us as well with Ben Woods on 97.3.
I haven't given you guys your presents trip yet. Actually, a few things we could have put in Don't Do This Thing. We could have done like a seven-parter of Don't Do This. We didn't have the time. We're talking about USA Basketball there in the break. Did you guys see Big Poppy make the Hall of Fame induction ceremony about himself again and go and touch Adrian Beltre's head? Can you?
I saw him like creepily behind the curtain, just kind of waiting for his moment.
They mentioned it in the chat. Like, bro, just is it possible for you to let somebody have a moment?
Like Robert Suarez at the All-Star.
Right. Just, hey, buddy, you having fun?
Hey, Yankees suck, am I right?
Hey, you going to beat the Yankees? Yeah, okay. Hey, buddy, you having fun? You going to hit a homer? No, they've actually pulled me from the game, so I'm ineligible to hit again.
While Adrian Beltre gives his speech, let's cut to Poppy interviewing some of the Hall of Famers.
Hey, isn't this cool to be in here? What'd you think of that luncheon? Bro, so that was one. He's annoying now. I know he's beloved, and he's got the gap in his teeth and everything else, and it's great. Relax, dude. Do less. You're one of the best I've ever seen. One of the most feared hitters of all time. Let that be enough.
Right.
Let it be enough.
I think he's not as entertaining or funny to me as Fox wants him to
be. He's not as entertaining or funny as he thinks he is.
You know what? TNT, Turner, whatever. Give me all the Charles Barkley content.
Yeah, he's like
100%.
They want him to be phenomenally
baseball's
funny.
Charles Barkley.
He's not.
He's not as clever. He's not as likable.
That's what they're doing, right?
He's not Charles Barkley. Yes, they're exactly trying to make him on the set be the Charles Barkley of inside the NBA, but inside the MLB, and he's sitting there trying to be Charles Barkley.
Barkley doesn't do stuff like that. He doesn't do annoying stuff.
He's just naturally funny.
And like everything he says is just funny. Like he's got that thing.
He's also very insightful.
Yes.
When it comes to basketball at times.
And there's just no reason for it. So we could have done that. Of course, he had to go and touch Adrian's head and Big Poppy, look at me. And then the basketball. Paul, I didn't see this. I was probably making love or in a tub soaking somewhere when this happened, but fill me in.
I ran some highlights on Saturday. So in London, Team USA, LeBron and Anthony Davis and company.
These are just tune-ups.
Yeah, tune-up exhibition games before the Olympics. And they were taking on South Sudan, which is actually our newest, the newest nation in the world. They're like 13 years old.
Nice.
Split off from Sudan. Just a fledgling basketball program, but a kind of a basketball hotbed. The Aztecs have had a number of players from that area come in and be part of the team.
NBA players, I think.
Yeah. So, and they had some ex and current NBA players on their squad, but they were up like 16 at halftime, double digits in the third quarter. The U.S. team needed to rally. And then South Sudan hit a three with like 15 seconds left to take a one-point lead. And LeBron drove to the basket to put him back up by one with like 6 seconds left. And then Sudan had like two shots at a layup and put back to win it. Didn't get a foul call. Could have gotten a foul call, but the referees are going to swallow their whistles when it's South Sudan against Team USA in an exhibition game. And U.S. held on by one. Now, had they lost, what are the consequences? None. It's just an exhibition game. Would have been an amazing moment for South Sudan. Was anyway, just the fact that they played
they
that well.
Hung that tough.
And maybe it's a bit of a wake-up call for Team USA that the Olympic tournament's not going to be quite the cakewalk that some people think it's going to be. Basketball around the world is good. It just is very good. The U.S. has the best team, and it's maybe the best team since the Dream Team, but the Dream Team didn't have to take on the kind of squads that are now around the world. Back then, it was ridiculous, the difference in talent level. Not so much anymore. Not so much anymore. It'll be an interesting Olympic basketball tournament.
I'm actually looking forward to this. You know how I feel about basketball, but I'm looking forward to it. I don't want them to lose, obviously, but that brings a little bit more cachet to it. The fact that they may not win with all of this star power.
They did announce this morning that LeBron James is going to be the flag bearer for the opening ceremony for Team USA in Paris this Friday. And when I first heard it, I was like, shouldn't that go to like an Olympic athlete? Not that he's not an Olympic athlete, but maybe someone who only gets to showcase every 4 years, that only gets to really have the spotlight this 1 2-week period. LeBron
Simone
is
Biles.
Always in the spotlight every single year. But then I found out that it's a vote of Olympians.
Oh, it's killer.
And he won the vote. So, okay.
Makes sense.
I mean, if they picked him, and, you know, he's a good representative for Team USA.
100%.
So he will be the male flag bearer. I think tomorrow they announce the female flag bearer for Team USA.
And this bad boy kicks off, what, Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Oh, boy. All right. Here we go.
All right. We have traffic still? Let's check traffic, and then we'll go back over the other two games, Friday and Saturday's Padres games in Cleveland, matching 7-0 games, win and loss, next on 97.3 The Fan. This hour on The Fan brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. From a healthier weight to more energy, when you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this? None at all. It's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio. All right, 7-0 win, 7-0 loss, Saturday and Friday. But again, as we said earlier, two very good pitching performances. Dylan Cease was amazing for the second straight outing. He was terrific in his last start before the break, maybe even better on Saturday. 7 innings, the one hit, one walk, 10 strikeouts, back-to-back 10 strikeout games, as good as consecutive performances as you're going to see in Major League Baseball.
Nasty. Just as nasty and unhittable as you could get.
Yeah, his last two start total, 13 innings, two hits, 21 strikeouts.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Man. Whatever he's unlocked, it's going really well. And that's a good team. That's a really, really good team he beat on Saturday.
That's the Dylan Cease the Padres were hoping that they traded for
at the start of the season. And we've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen it plenty. There have been some uneven starts, certainly. But we've seen really good Dylan Cease
now,
this year.
I don't know if you remember, but the very first batter of the game, Stephen Kwan, roped one that hooked just foul.
Yeah, when
he hit it, I thought, oh wait, see, he's just had a good start. What is he going to do?
Give up
a home run in the first inning, give up some runs, and be down early.
Yep.
But it hooked foul, and after that, you really never thought about it again because he was that dominant the rest of the game. But there is that tendency still sometimes early for Dylan Cease. Just avoided the trouble this time and locked in and was absolutely fantastic. Offensively, Padres put together kind of a weird rally in the fourth inning. They loaded the bases. Luis Camposano ripped. I think it was the hardest hit ball of his career.
Yeah.
An RBI single to score the first run. And then Luis Arraez drew a walk, which he hadn't been doing much, but decided he kind of just decides what he wants to do. I think I read in the UT that the team had said, hey, we'd like you to try to walk a little bit more. And he said, okay, I'll just swing a little bit less. And he drew that walk to drive in a run. And then Jake got hit with two outs to drive in a third run. Weird rally off Gavin Williams, but that gave Dylan Cease plenty of offense. Good to see him adding on. They had the four-run eighth with the David Peralta and Jake Cronenworth home runs as well. Jake's now tied for the team lead. 14 home runs, same as Jurickson, same as Fernando Tatis Jr., and one ahead of Manny. Now, 14 isn't a terrific total for your team leader when guys like Shohei have 30 at this point.
Yeah, but when you have, Tony.
But they also have more guys, you know, at that 14, 13 level than most teams do. So kind of balances out in the end. They don't have one super duper home run hitter, but they've had more than most teams to double digits.
Our team leader's been out for how long? You know, in Fernando Tatis Jr.
True. So he could be in the 20s at some point. Yeah,
absolutely.
He had stayed healthy.
And so good to see David Peralta heating up a little bit. That's a bat I think we're going to need, you know, down the stretch from the left side. Great win. Great win. Great bounce back win. And, you know, obviously starting pitching sets the tone. And you just felt after you watch him lock in, you're like, they're not beating us. There's no way. They couldn't get anything going off him.
David Peralta, I'm glad you mentioned it. He has been hitting well.
He
and he started all three games in right field. Seems like he's now the starter against right-handers, at least until Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back, which is good that he's heating up. It also means that Donovan Solano is the missing man. I don't think he played at all this weekend. He'd been such a key member of the Padres lineup, but with Xander Bogaerts back.
And playing well,
and
by
playing,
the way.
Yeah, playing really well. He had some good strong line drives.
Four multi-hit games in the five games that he's been back.
There's really no spot for Donovan Solano in the lineup right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, again, if you need to give Manny a blow, and you might, as bad as he looks.
But you're not going to give him a blow against a lefty, Donovan plays
against
primarily.
Yeah.
So, really, it's like, do you give Jake a day off against a lefty, or maybe Arraez?
Yeah.
You don't really want to take those guys out of the lineup much, though.
I know.
Which makes it harder for Donovan Solano to find a place on this team, which is why Padres fans, they're not picking up Ty France.
No, there's absolutely no need for Ty France.
He was reportedly put on waivers by the Seattle Mariners, and as much as you like Ty France and would love the story of him coming back, they don't even have room for Donovan Solano, who's probably hitting better than Ty France.
Why do we have to do that every time a player gets released? Hey, could we pick him up?
I think it's a bit.
All right. There's a reason. They're a good team. They released him because he's not playing well.
Yeah.
Donovan Solano has
any good player playing well ever been released?
I think he's got 14 home runs too, though. Ty France, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think most of them were earlier in the season.
That's just another thing we need, another infielder.
Right. Like, another right-handed bat. I know.
Plus, I think if you claim him, you're on the hook for the rest of his salary, which is not insignificant. So Donovan Solano's cheap and fills that role well, and they don't even need him right now.
Yeah, he's there. They're not even. Yeah, they can't even find a spot for him.
Now, can Ty France, you know, throw the seventh inning in the bullpen?
That's a story. Then I'll listen.
Pick him up. Yeah, if there's guys like that that are available, I will definitely consider adding someone to the Padres roster at this point.
One of those guys that we all know very well is on the block right now. Did you see the news out of Cincinnati?
I did.
That they're listening on
Nick Martinez.
Nick Martinez and Frankie Montas. Now, Martinez signed a 2-year, $26 million deal with them.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're going to...
He's pitched pretty well.
He has. I don't know, though, that they're going to... They're looking for a salary dump. They're not looking to... they're not going to say, yeah, take him, give us a couple prospects, and we'll eat, you know, 80% of that. I don't know that you can swing.
Now, remember, the rest of this year, though, $13 million is only going to be about $5 to $6 million for the last couple of months of the year.
But you're on the hook for $13 the next year. Yeah. Right.
But is there an option? Will he opt out?
I don't think there's an option. I don't think there is.
Is there not an option?
I thought it was a 2-year deal, $13 each.
But the Padres are desperate
after next year.
The Padres are desperate enough for pitching that
I would bring him back in a New York minute.
I think they even have to consider it at this point and then figure out. I mean, you can always trade him again in the offseason if he throws well enough that there is a team out there that would be willing to probably pay him that amount. Starting pitching is scarce. He's doing a good enough job that he's earned that money.
And he's pitched both roles this year. He started and he's relieved.
Right.
And again,
his walk rate is way down. That was his the one knock on him.
The thing that they would do to him 100% again is, you're going to start. Like, look, Joe's not here. You said it. Joe, you're starting. They come back and he's like,
back to the bullpen,
son of a bitch, I'm back in the bullpen again. But he's such a team player. He would do it. He's comfortable. He's familiar with everything.
Maybe not. Would you stock the fridge in the pen with some Red Bull just in case 100%. He comes back? Sure, yeah. Just be ready for a potential reunion.
I'd be fine with it.
No on the Ty France reunion. Maybe on the Nick Martinez reunion. And by the way, the only reason I think that he's available is the Washington Nationals just swept the Cincinnati Reds to really knock him out of contention. Of course, the Nationals are still... hot and still thinking they've got a shot, and now the Padres have to go to D.C. for the next three games, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday this week.
Here we go.
All right, we'll come back, reset everything for the final 2 hours of the show. More Padres talk on the way. In-season Sammy joining us as well with Ben Woods on 97.3.
I haven't given you guys your presents trip yet.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.